The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John further testified, saying, "I saw the Spirit coming down like a dove from the sky and remaining upon him. I do not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's Feast of the Holy Name, we could focus on three different realities associated with the name and then apply it to the name we're given in today's readings. First aspect of the name is the name itself. Second is the reality of the name. And the third is the response to that reality. Jesus was given the name. It was the name that the Archangel Gabriel told Saint Joseph to give to him. "He will be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." That is Jesus' name. The reality of the name is that's precisely what his mission is. He has come to save us from our sins. In Hebrew, as we see throughout the Old Testament, God chose names for reasons. Names signified things. Abraham meant father of many nations. John, as we saw a couple weeks ago with John the Baptist, meant God is gracious. We could go on and on about the power of names. Jesus' name means God saves. And that is the reality of what he came to do. He came to bring us that salvation. We prayed in the opening entrance antiphon that there's no other name under heaven and earth by which we will be saved other than by Jesus' name. The name and the person are one, especially in God. There's no distinction. God doesn't so much have anything, but he is what we would say, according to our own human nature, he would have. He is salvation. He is mercy. He is love. He is patience. He is kindness and graciousness, etc. So Jesus is that salvation. Then the third is what the response is to that name. On Jesus' part, all that Jesus did was to save us. And it leads us to respond to Jesus precisely in that way. Not to look at Jesus as a chum, but to look at Jesus fundamentally and above all as someone who needs to be rescued, as someone who really needs Jesus' help, and that Jesus comes precisely with that help that we need most. To celebrate the feast of Jesus' holy name is to celebrate that salvation he comes to bring and to enter into how he brings that salvation, which is through the sacrament of baptism, through the sacrament of confession, and through sacraments and prayer that flow from them. Today in the first reading, St. John tells us something unbelievable about our name. I've heard this passage so often that it might lose a little bit of its stupendous wonder for us. But it's important for us during these days of Christmas to slow down and really take these words. These, if there's any passage in sacred scripture, we should know by heart. It is really this one, because this is constitutive of who we are. "See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. It would be the greatest honor of our life if we only were able to be called God's children." that we're called God's sons and daughters, that we're called little Christs. That's what the word Christian means. You know, names are supposed to change us. It's an interesting thing. It's often, I listen to sports radio every once in a while when I'm in the car, about what we call the Patriots way, now that we're in Patriots playoff season. When guys who had up and down reputations on other football teams come to Foxborough, and they come into that locker room, and they come under Belichick's system and the other veterans in the locker room, they start to behave differently. They stop being prima donnas. They start playing for the team. They start doing their job, doing their role. They take that name, Patriot, pretty seriously. When I went to Harvard, as soon as you walk through the door, I started to behave differently. I started to wear a tie a little bit differently. I mean, there were certain things that came with it. I didn't want to be a disgrace to the name. I wanted to behave up to that name. Parishioners here at St. Bernadette's, I have a strong reputation in the city. You ought to live in a way in which you're going to know your faith a little bit better than the average Catholic in another place. Because I'm going to preach longer, because I'm going to write more in the bulletin, so I'm going to provide more opportunities. Names matter. And the greatest name we have is son or daughter of God. You would have been murdered in the Old Testament if you said you were God's son or daughter. To claim divine filiation was a blasphemy. And yet, St. John says, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called children of God. It's the reality of the name. It's the second point. St. John says, yet so we are. It's not just that somebody can call us a Christian, but that God has actually made us His sons and daughters. He made it through the action of His Son, through the power of baptism, to which St. John in this Gospel reading today points. He said that the entire reason for His mission in His life was to make Jesus known. He was preparing through that symbol of baptism for the signified of baptism. When the one who would come after Him, whose sandal strap He wasn't fit to unloosen, would baptize with the Holy Spirit. When you're baptized with that Holy Spirit, we become truly children of God. The Holy Spirit helps us to cry out from within, Abba, Father, as St. Paul would say elsewhere. That is precisely the first aspect of the salvation Jesus, by His holy name, has brought into the world. That not only are we called, but that we are God's sons and daughters. This is the fundamental aspect of being Christian. And it is something that I think far few Christians ponder substantially. I'm convinced that every form of spiritual depression, and there are other forms of depression that are psychological and based on neurotransmitters, but a lot of the times we're depressed spiritually, and the reason we're depressed spiritually is we don't take this reality seriously enough. If we really believed deep down that we were God's beloved sons and daughters, everything changes. Even if everybody else in the whole rest of the world hates us, we are beloved by God. We know who we are. So it's important for us to grasp this. But then there's a third reality. It's the living as children of God. St. John says immediately after, when he describes that the world doesn't know us because it didn't know Jesus, and so the world's not going to recognize everybody else's dignity. Because it didn't really recognize Jesus' dignity. We should be prepared for that. Not everybody's going to accept us. If we're looking for our affirmation from everybody else, it ain't going to come. But it does come directly from God. And he stresses, beloved, we are God's children now. And there's an even greater reality awaiting us. Can you imagine that? That we are the ears and the irises of the King of Kings. And as an infomercial would say, there's more. We don't know exactly what that reality is going to be, because this reality that we're God's sons and daughters now should blow our minds. But we know that when it is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. God created us in His image and likeness, and He's going to bring that image and likeness to completion when we see Him face to face. But the more we see Christ, even in this world, the more we become like Him. Because it's almost contagious when we notice who He is and how He's acting, especially when He comes to us in other persons, when He comes to us in the sacraments, when He comes to us in the Word. We are changed by the power of what we observe. We know we need to melt before that reality. St. John summarizes by saying, everyone who has this hope based on this, based on Him, this hope that it will be even greater when we will see Him as He is, makes Himself pure as He is pure. God calls us to become saints. That's what it means when we will see Him as He is in heaven. And when we grasp this, when we really have that hope that God, who has let us be called His children, who has made us His children and heirs of the promise, if only we accept it, if only we order our life to it, if only we come and get it. And then three, an even greater reality awaits. Our behavior is supposed to change. We start to make ourselves pure. We start to say, okay, I am God's children, so I'm not going to act like everybody else who gossips. I am God's son, so I'm not going to retaliate, because Jesus taught us a different way. I am God's daughter, so I'm not going to hold that grudge, but in fact I'm going to forgive like Jesus has taught me to forgive. When we really know who we are, and when we're nourished by the hope of being saints, all our behavior changes. What's the reality for most Catholics? The reality for most Catholics is we don't behave as saints. We don't behave as sons and daughters of God. We behave like everybody else behaves. And the reason is, I'm convinced, because we don't remember who we are, and we don't remember who God wants us to become. On Christmas Day, St. Leo the Great preaches to every priest in the world in the Liturgy of the Office. And the real point is, remembering all that Jesus has done and entering our world and being born for us, he says, oh Christian, remember your dignity. Remember who you are. And if all this has happened to you, this salvation has happened to you through baptism, don't lose it, baby. Don't go back. Stick with it. Remember that. Live in accordance with this reality. We don't remember. One of the greatest spiritual principles the fathers of the church used to say in the desert was anamnesis, unforgetting, that we remember precisely who we are. We remember in action. Yesterday I was sorting through a whole bunch of my books. There's going to be a massive book giving before I have to go to the United Nations, so get ready for that. But I was reading, looking at a whole bunch of my philosophy books, and there were a few books that had to go into the trash lest anybody read this and be led over a cliff. But one was by Friedrich Nietzsche, all his writings, a tremendous writer, but he had gone mad. And he was the one who coined the phrase, God is dead. And he really, his thoughts led to National Socialism and the Nazis and everything else like this. So it had to get into the dumpster. But Nietzsche had said, I might have become a Christian had I ever met someone who was redeemed. I may have been able to believe in a redeemer if I had ever met someone redeemed. He, like a whole bunch of the worst people in recent history, went to a Catholic school. He was ferociously disciplined. He saw a whole bunch of scandals in the kids around and the families around, and he thought it was all a crock. I might have been able to believe in a redeemer if I had ever met someone redeemed. Think about all the teachers in that school, think about all the students in the school, and no one struck Nietzsche as living differently than the rest, as living in a divine way. Stalin also went to a Catholic school, and he was booted. We can go on with a whole bunch of these sociopaths. They wanted, at least they had the opportunity to find God, and they didn't find Him in those in whom they should have found Him. So it comes back to us. Everyone who has this hope for heaven this hope for God. Everyone who has this notion of this reality makes himself like God. That's a struggle we're never going to fulfill, but it has to be the great struggle of our life. That we wish to be like God in the minutiae. God doesn't leave us on our own with our own efforts, though. He himself comes down to make possible what he commands. If God ever calls us to something, he will give us all the means he knows we need to achieve it, if only we receive those means. For us to become pure, like God is pure, for us to live as true sons and daughters of God, to remember our dignity and show everybody else their dignity, we need a Savior. And that's the Savior whose name we celebrate today. And that's the Savior whom we're about to eat.